This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for today is a message. It's an audio version of a message that was published back in 1996, in March of 1996. And this is January of the year 2024. And the reason why I am giving you the dates is because I might mention events or certain things that happened or certain people or certain places that were relevant back at the time that this message was printed up and published that may or may not be relevant for today. But also, I always endeavor to say this, and that is, when it comes down to the Word of God is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. Whether it was 6,000 years ago, today, or if the Lord tarries 6,000 years from now, it makes no difference. His word is always relevant, and it will always accomplish what he has sent it forth to do. And we would do well to take heed to it and abide by it. Now, having said that, our subject scripture for this message of March 1996 is taken from the book of Psalms, number 127, and verse number 1. And if you have your Bibles and to that scripture in the King James Version of the Bible, we will find these words recorded. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. The title for this message, Who's Building the House and Who's Keeping the City? This passage of scripture says a mouthful about the relationship between the plans man makes for his life and God. The psalmist realized that if any plan that man makes is backed by God, then that plan will succeed no matter who likes it or not. By the same token, if God does not back the plan, then no matter how many people, famous or not, or how much money is poured into it, it will ultimately fail. God made it very plain in the last part of St. John chapter 15 in verse number 5, where we read, without me, you can do nothing. How true it is. There are multitudes of examples in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible where we see men and women attempting to do things that God has told them to do, and how others tried to stop them to no avail. Why? Because if God has planned for something to be done, then quite simply, anyone that stands in the way of that plan will be, in effect, fighting against God. If we look at the book of Acts, chapter number 5, verses 38 and 39, it tells us what happened in one instance when the apostles, commissioned by God through Jesus Christ to preach the gospel to the whole world, as recorded in St. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15, ran into some resistance from the religious leaders of that time. Some of them had the presence of mind to warn their fellow leaders. I'm talking about these are the religious leaders that were going, some of the religious leaders of the group that were going against these apostles. And one of these religious leaders had the presence of mind to warn his fellow leaders that if what these apostles were doing was not of God, then it would amount to nothing. It would eventually fade away. However, if it is of God and you resist it, then you will be fighting against God. And friend, only a fool would do something like that. Like I said, read Acts chapter number 5. Read the whole thing of Acts chapter 5 and see what the apostles were doing and so forth. And see what the religious leaders call themselves trying to do, trying to stop them. And like I said, it was one of these religious leaders that had the presence of mind, and it had to be that God was leading this one particular person to tell the rest of them to leave these men alone, because quite frankly, if it was of God, you can't stop it. And if it's not of God, it's going to fade away. Yet, now get back to the message. Yet today, there are many people that seem to think that no matter what it takes, they are going to do what they want to do, and no one is going to stop them. Big mistake. Sure, if God is backing them in what they are trying to do, then they will be successful. If a person being led by God determines that they are going to preach the gospel, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, or any of the other things that bring glory to God, then that person will have his, God's, total support, and woe to anyone that tries to stop him. But notice, I said, brings glory to God. That is the key. Well, you might say, if a person is being led by God, can they be at odds with him? The answer is yes, they can. If you read about what happened to Moses, a man sent by God to deliver his people from bondage and lead them into the promised land, when he did something that took the glory away from God, you will see what I mean. Numbers chapter number 20, verses 7 through 12. And then go to chapter number 27, verses 12 through 14, it tells us that even though Moses was being led by God, he did something that was not what God told him to do, and as a result, he was punished for it. This is why, when doing the work of the Lord, a person must be careful that in their work they do not get themselves in the position of thinking that they are the ones that are doing the work or accomplishing the goal. Numbers chapter 20, verse number 10 shows us how Moses, angry at the rebellion of the children of Israel, made it seem like he and the other leaders were getting the water from them when he said, "Must we fetch you water out of this rock?" God also told Moses to speak to the rock and not hit it. The problem that Moses had is prevalent today. Many times when God is blessing someone in their endeavors, so much so that everything they do prospers, they tend to get a little big-headed. And though they may not say it, they start to believe that they are prospering by their own strength and knowledge. They tend to seek God less and therefore run the risk of moving out of His will or timetable for their lives. And when that happens, disaster is waiting. Why? Because once you move out from under the plan of God, you are essentially on your own. Even though what you are doing is what He wants you to do at some future time, but not now. Other times, what seems to be right is done for the wrong motives, or the solutions you have have another mess. You know, if you're making a solution, well, let's go on, we'll see what I'm talking about. Several examples of things that seem perfectly legitimate and what God would want for us, coupled with the wrong motives or solutions for achieving them, are spelling disaster. Example: civil rights, racial equality, equal employment opportunities, unions, Million Man March, segregation, welfare, the black church, and many others. All have what we would call justifiable visions. Yet they all have plans to get to those ends that run smack dab in the face of what God says is the right way to go to get there. Proverbs chapter number 14 and 12 and Proverbs chapter 16 and 25 both say the exact same thing, and that is, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death or destruction or misery or something that's going to make you less than what you started out as. In politics, we see one party, the supposed champion of the poor, the elderly, and minorities, steadily telling us how they have done this and that for us, and that we need them to continue to get ahead. Sounds like Moses talking about getting water from the rock, doesn't it? Few fail to see that the way they hope to achieve their goal of a utopia, so to speak, will lead this nation into the same mess that we see today in France, the former Soviet Union, and other nations that reject God and yet try to achieve those things that only can be attained by following His plan. This is why I say some of the things that I'm mentioning now about these things are something that was relevant back when this message was first being published. Some of the things are relevant, still relevant today, but things like the Soviet Union, a lot of people don't even know anything about the Soviet Union because it was dissolved. But you know, the whole thing boils down to the fact that some of these things are basically things of the past. But anyway, let's go on. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. We find that in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34. There are other passages of scripture that say the same thing. Now, that means that God loves all of us the same. That means that we better do the same thing. In other words, that means if God loves all of us the same, then we need to love each other the same, irrespective of race, creed, color, or whatever. Well, let's go on. When we talk about racial segregation, marrying within your own race, separate but equal education, you are going against God and it will fail. And it is sad how many people that claim to be doing God's work back this garbage. Today, many people are hired because of the color of their skin and not by the content of their character or their qualifications. That's the direct opposite of what Martin Luther King Jr. envisioned. Unions, which came into being to combat the steady stream of overworked, underpaid workers that couldn't seem to get ahead, lifted the standard of living of the working class. But now these same unions are failing to provide job security for their workers, as many companies are downsizing to compete with companies that provide the same products but at a far more affordable rate or far more affordable cost. Sure, profits are a big factor, but many times smaller companies with all the right intentions get caught up in the union struggle and have to close up shop because of union demands which ultimately bankrupt them. The bottom line is, the goal is legitimate, but the means lead to destruction. Why? Because God is not in it. Sure, I may be stepping on some toes or smashing some sacred cows, but that's my job. The black church, what is that? a church that is specifically created by man to address the problems of the black community. Let me tell you, there is no such thing in God's plan as a black church. Neither is there a white church, Baptist church, Catholic church, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Lutheran, or any other such church. There is only one church, and that is the church, the body of Christ, with Him as the head. God does not have several different plans for different races or so-called denominations. What applies to one applies to all. What some of you need to do is to quit listening to man and his ideas that only serve to exalt himself, and listen to God and follow Him. If you want the best that God has to offer, then you can get it. First, you have to get saved. Then let Him start building your house or your life. As far as where you have to go to get saved, you can do it right now, right where you are. All you have to do is pray, "Jesus, I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sinful ways. Will you come into my heart and cleanse me from all my sin and be Lord of my life? I accept you as Lord and Savior, and with your help, I will live my life for you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and were raised from the dead for my justification. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen." If you prayed that prayer from the heart, meaning every word, congratulations, you are now saved. The next thing you need to do is start learning about what God wants you to begin doing. Among these things is to get water baptized in the name of Jesus as a symbolic act of the remission of your sins. Also, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which will be the evidence of God's power being given to you, as recorded in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. You may not feel any different, but believe me, no, believe God, you are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Well, that is the end of this message, and I hope you got something from it. And of a quick note, as I'm recording this message, like I said, this is January 2024. In 2023, just to give you an example of doing things, all the right things for the wrong reasons and winding up having problems, unions recently went on strike back in 2023 against the big three automakers, claiming that the companies were making all sorts of big profits, but it wasn't trickling down to the workers getting better pay, you know, better pay. And so they went on strike, and they said they were going to strike all of the big major companies and things, Ford, GM, and Chrysler, to get the workers job security, and they were going to eliminate pay discrepancies between what was basically called tier tiers, where T-I-E-R-S, where depending on your work level or something like that, you would get one pay, and if you had quite a bit of seniority, you would get a even better pay. And the idea is you had to work so many years or something like that to build up enough seniority to get full pay. Well, the union said they were going to get rid of that, and they want all of the workers to be paid the same, and it was going to be a monumental contract, and all of the workers and things stood behind it, and they went out and they marched, and they struck these companies for several, I think a little over a month or so. But anyway, the bottom line is, after a long period of time, they managed to get what they call job security for all of the workers, and that the people that were in the tier system or part-time workers and things like that, they were going to be getting better pay and be equal with the regular seniority workers and so forth. And so everything seemed to be going good. Well, I just read an article about 3 or 4 days ago, this is in January of 2024, where a situation, a company that I used to work for, I used to work for what was then Chrysler, but now it's Stellantis. They laid off 500 and some odd part-time workers, even though, according to the union contracts that were ratified, that the union had put forth, that the company ratified or voted to accept, was supposed to guarantee the jobs of all workers. But yet now you've got 500 and some odd part-time workers who were eligible to be moved into the pay range of the regular seniority workers being laid off. And this one woman was talking about how she feels that her union, as well as the company, basically failed her by basically laying her off, or in one sense basically eliminating her job, because the company has to rearrange how it's going about doing things to meet the demands of this new contract that the unions put forth for everybody to get better pay. And see, one of the things is that we learn, this is common sense. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. Anytime you're gonna force a company to start paying workers more money, several things are going to happen. One of which, they're gonna have to raise the price of the products that they're selling in order to meet the demand for that higher pay. Well, when they do that, the demand for the product that they're producing is going to begin to deteriorate and become less and less. When that happens, layoffs follow. Thank you. That's just plain common sense. And see, a lot of workers, they get caught up in the idea. The union's going around bragging about record profits and things. They said we couldn't do it and this, that, and other, but we did it. Yeah, they did it, but look what happened. You got 500 and some odd people at Stellantis that have lost their jobs. And what are they going to do? Stay on unemployment for a while? But then after a while, their benefits are going to run out. And then what? And see, other companies like GM, once they ratified the contract, GM had a plan to build a plant for, you know, to produce batteries for these electric vehicles that they were going to be producing, and they were going to start building that plant in about an I think sometime starting at the end of this year or in the middle of this year, 2024, and moving forward. And that was going to create about 1,500 and some odd jobs. But guess what? After ratifying this deal, they scratched that plan. So that's 1,500 or 2,000 jobs that were going to be created that are now on hold until who knows when. See, all of this stuff, you're doing things for the good, for the right reasons, but the solution, I mean, the way you're going about doing it is ending up in disaster. Well, that's all for this message today, and I hope you got something from it. Just remember, when people are doing things, you got to be wondering, are they doing it to glorify themselves? Or are they doing it to glorify God? If they're doing it to glorify God, it will succeed. When you're doing it to glorify yourself, you're in for trouble. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre, hoping that you and your families will be blessed real good by God. And until next time, good day.